the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Mark 5:1-20. Mark 5:1-20. Mark 5:1-20. All right. I'll read from here. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 12:4. Isaiah 12:4. Isaiah 12:4. And in that day, you will say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, this morning briefly, you know, I'll be talking about the topic that says, after the storm. After the storm. Herein was a man, you know, is a very popular story in the Bible. In fact, it appeared 3 times in Mark, in Luke, and I think in Matthew, in 3 books of the gospel. This story, it was a peculiar story. It was a peculiar story because, you know, this madman, you know, this city was known because of this madman. It wasn't as if the city was economically booming, or they have entertainment that they want to show to people, or there is something, you know, special in that city. But it was because of this madman, the madman of Gadara. Praise the Lord. You know, here was someone, you know, that became the ridicule, the spectacle of people. People became afraid. People could not go his path. People had to warn their children, warn their wife, and say, don't go that path, don't go that way, because of this madman. But this madman, he had a family. I'm very sure he was a father to some children. I'm very sure he was a father, he was a husband to a woman. I'm very sure he belonged to a family. And yet, he was abandoned, he was alone, suffering. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. The life of the madman of Gadara, you know, is just a reflection of our modern day world. That is just the truth. We might say, oh, the madman, oh, that was then. No, it is a reflection of what our world has become in this present day, in this day that we call the 21st century. Praise the Lord. And quickly we will look at some things that we can, you know, we can take out of this man, this madman of Gadara. He experienced the storm of life. You know, people abandoned him. People deserted him. He became the ridicule of the town. He was put to shame. Praise the Lord. So we'll just quickly look at the lessons that we can learn from this story. You know, and the very first lesson is that our world has become corrupt. Romans 12:1-2. Romans 12:1-2. Our world has become corrupt. You know, we make wrong choices every day. I tell us, wherever we find ourselves today is as a result of the choices that we have made in the past. It's as a result of the choices that we have made in the past. And wherever we will be tomorrow will be as a result of the choices that we will make today. Praise the Lord. And that is why whenever we have the opportunity to make any choice or to make any decision, the first thing is that you always take your what? You take your direction, your choices, you take them to God and say, God, show me the way. Which, what should I do? Praise the Lord. So that we not make the wrong choices. Praise the Lord. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and that is acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, in the world that we live in today, right has become wrong. Praise the Lord. and the right has completely disappeared. That is just the truth. So we see the wrong thing as being the norm. Oh, we feel that, oh, this is okay. So far, everybody accepted it. Then it's acceptable. No, as children of God, we should be careful of the things that we engage ourselves with. Praise the Lord. You know, right has become obsolete. We are increasing in knowledge every day. Yet, our knowledge is taking us far away from God. The more we acquire the worldly knowledge, the more we are moving away from the knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. You know, we keep justifying our bad choices. You know, we keep justifying ourselves. Oh, the person is stealing. They say he has, what is this word that they call? Klepto. They say it's klepto. You know, they give it name. Stealing is stealing. Praise the Lord. You know, we have formed so many things out of the wrong and we feel that, oh, it is the right. Praise God. You know, we justify our actions. We are not remorseful. You know, when we even do some things, we don't even feel as if, you know, that conscience, you know, is no longer there. That we have even done something that is bad. Praise God. You know, our desires have become uncontrollable. You know, we desire things that we are not even meant to desire. Praise God. Rather than desire the will of God, rather than desire the presence of God, rather than desire the things of God, you know, we desire things, you know, that will cause pain, that will cause havoc on the long run, even into our lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. It's just like somebody who has been told that don't consume sugar because this sugar is not good for you. You will end up being this, that. And the person still continued and said, no, I love this sugar. Oh, it gives me satisfaction. Oh, I derive joy from it. Oh, it is my desire. And the person continues to consume the sugar. What do you think, what will happen to the person on the long run? He will be sick. And God forbid, the sickness might lead to death. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, my adage, our language, will say that death is eating banana. And then he's happy that he's in banana, doesn't know that it is that banana that is going to what, that is going to kill him or her. Praise the Lord. If I say it in my dialect, you know, it's sweeter. Praise the Lord. I translated it to English. Praise the Lord. That is, there are some things that you feel that you are enjoying it now. You feel that I'm just enjoying it. After all, I am still young. I am youthful. Let me enjoy my life. Let me enjoy myself. It is my time. Oh, no problem. Keep enjoying your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But there are consequences of every action, every choice, every decision that we make in life. There are always consequences. Praise the Lord. And that is why as Christians, we must guard jealously that salvation that we have been opportune, because it's a privilege. So many people wish that, you know, they belong to the folk of God. But opportunity, that privilege is not yet given unto them. Praise the Lord. So we must guard it jealously. That's what the Bible says, that we must work out our salvation with what? With fear and with trembling. It is an intentional something that God, it is either you or nobody. Just like Daniel, just like he proposed in his act. When they were, of course, they were in foreign land. They were in the land of captivity. Of course, they could do whatever they wanted because nobody would see them. But because they had the fear of God in their hearts, they knew the God that they were serving. They proposed in their hearts that they would not defile themselves with the king's meat, despite the fact that nobody could see them. But yet, they determined in their hearts not to defile themselves. Praise the Lord. Oh, we are in foreign land. Oh, nobody is seeing us. Oh, at home is not seeing me. Oh, my parents have not seen me. My husband is not here. My wife is not here. I can just free. I'm on the free. Just ride on, go on. But remember, there are consequences for every action, for every choice that we make. I pray that the Lord God Almighty will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. The second one, that demons are real. That is, if you don't believe it today, believe it now. demons are real. The spirit of lying is a demon. It is not the person that is actually, you know, that is actually the thief that is stealing, but it is a spirit that the person has allowed to enter him or her. Fornication is a spirit. Lying is a spirit. Mention all the negative things. They are spirit, they are demons. And they need physical body to manifest. Demons will not manifest. They don't manifest by themselves. They need a body. That's why they can enter animals. They can enter anything that, you know, that is life. For them to be able to carry out their activity. And it was unfortunate that this madman of Gadara, that, you know, demons, not only one, not only two, not only three, legion of demons, they habited themselves in him. I used to tell people, the day I got the understanding of some things that we do, wow, I became fearful. I became fearful. The day I got the understanding that if you sleep with somebody who you are not legally married to, if you sleep with that person, you already transferred seven demons into your body. That is the fact. That is just the fact. That is the fact. So for as many that you keep sleeping with, then it will be multiplying. It will be multiplying. Praise the Lord. Oh, they might not manifest now because you feel that, oh, I'm enjoying myself. Oh, I'm having fun. Oh, it is my life. Oh, consequences. They are knocking very soon. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So demons are real. Ephesians 6:11. That is why as Christians, we cannot afford to be simple-minded. We cannot afford to be simple-minded and say, oh, I am simple-minded. Oh, I'm just simple. Oh, just leave me. Oh, just leave me. This is just who I am. This is just the way I am. We cannot afford to be simple-minded because the enemy goes about like a lion, like a lion. It's not a lion, like a lion. Looking for whom that he will kill, that he will steal from, that he will destroy. I pray that he will not destroy us in the mighty name of Jesus. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You have to put on the whole armor of God. We cannot just be like a drastical Christian and just take things for granted the way they come. That as life takes it to, that is how I'm going to take it. No. Because we are children of God. So we must put on the old armor of God. And so that we might be able to withstand the wiles of the enemy. Praise the Lord. So in order to keep demons away from us, we must put on the old armor of God. And of course, the old armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, where you use it to bring out the word of God. As the enemy is coming, you use the word of God and say, no, I stand on the word of God. This is what the word of God says. Praise the Lord. And then just choose ready to what? To evangelize the good news of Christ. Praise the Lord. So having a personal and intimate relationship with God, you know, will keep demons at bay. When you have a relation, where there is God, where there is light, how can darkness stand? It's not possible. So if you are having an intimate relationship with God on a daily basis, of course, how a demon comes in the presence of God. Where is demon? To come and manifest. Praise the Lord. But if you don't have relationship with him, you don't have an intimate one with him, of course, that's when the enemy, you know, it will take the opportunity and then it will strike. I pray that the enemy that will not have access into our lives in the name of Jesus and in any way that we might have allowed the enemy to have access into our life in the name that is above every other name this morning, they will give way in the mighty name of Jesus. And number three is that God values lives. God, he values our lives. That is why you see that some people will continue to sin. You ask yourself, sometimes you question that some people that they are not Christians and yet they are making it in life. You know, they are doing well. God is protecting them. God is keeping them. And you are wondering that, but this person is not a Christian now. But me, that I'm a Christian. How come that, you know, this is happening to me? God is what? God is a merciful God. He's a loving God. He's just giving them the opportunity to be able to what? To repent and come to him. God is not a man that we wish that somebody would just die. If somebody offends one, you want to strike the person down, let the person die. No! God is a merciful God. He's still what? He's still extending his mercy for them. So that maybe one day, they will just repent and come. And that was what happened. Rather than Jesus saving the pigs, the swine, because of one life. That is why your life is important to God. God values individual life. Your life, God values it. You are valuable to God. That is why Jesus, he had to save the madman of Gadara and send like thousands of swine into the river. Praise the Lord. Because God, he values life. We are precious to God. Unconditional love. That is why he came to the world to die for our sin. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believe in him, all we need to do is just to believe and they will be saved. Praise the Lord. That is why we should not gain the world. The Bible says, what will it profit a man if you gain the whole wide world? You acquire all the houses, all the mansions, the cars, your career is at the top. Oh, you have the highest degrees, all the certificates. You pack all of them. Oh, you are even like the rich man that say, oh, I will gather the food in this barn. I will gather and gather. And say, oh, I will not sit down. I will not be enjoying life and I'll be eating. God told him, he said, you fool, this very night I will take away your life. Praise the Lord. It is because we are still living that, we still have this opportunity, the privilege, to be doing as we wish. Praise the Lord. That is why, of what gain is it if you gain the whole wide world and then you not forfeit your soul? I pray that we will not forfeit our souls in the mighty name of Jesus. And the fourth one is sin always hurts. Sin always hurts. That is just the truth. He always hurts. I used to know a friend back then who, he got pregnant and then she aborted. She later came, she became born again and, faithfully serving God, very dedicated, hardworking. And then she got married, God showed her mercy. She married. But before while she was doing the abortion, she lost her because it was damaged, right? So, please, is it possible to conceive with womb? Of course, it's possible with God because with God, all things are possible. Praise the Lord. I've seen that happen. I've seen a woman who gave birth to two children without womb. I've seen it. Praise the Lord. So then, sin always hurts. Because she could not give birth, that started tormenting her. I'm very sure she will be remembering all the things, that she did in the past. So we should be careful. That is why whatever we do today, we should know that there are consequences that have been attached to them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. That way you will feel that this is the way. Nobody can even tell me. This way that I'm going, I am going to reach that end. But the end thereof is what? Is destruction. It will only lead to destruction. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I pray that we will not be destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus. That is why whenever we sin, of course, we all have sinned. Praise the Lord. But whenever we sin, we should quickly confess our sin and ask God for forgiveness and tell him and ask for the grace never to go back to that sin again. That is why David in the Bible, he was called a man after the heart of God, because David never committed the same sin twice. If you study the book of David, he never committed the same sin. He will not commit it twice. And whenever he sins, he's easily will just go to God and say, God, yes, I know I've sinned. Please just show me mercy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do not be in an environment that accommodates sinful ways. You just feel that all is just well. You accommodate it. Of course, the Bible says that, we should show love unto them. I'll tell some people who say, there was one day that somebody said that I don't love her, I hate her. I said, no, I love you, but I hate your heart. It is your act that I hate, what you do that I hate, not you. I love you with the love of God. Praise the Lord. But not your heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So we should not be in an environment that promotes sins and then we are comfortable. No. We should be watchful and we should be prayerful. We should not give room for ungodliness and unrighteousness in our lives because they are only invitation to the demons, to the evil spirits, to come and what? To man inhabit. Praise the Lord. I pray that God will show us mercy this morning in the name of Jesus. And the fifth one is Jesus is the only Savior. Imagine the madman of Gadara. We were told that even friends, family, people in the community, they tried to bound him. You know, they tried to chain him down. They tried to put fetters on him. But we're told that he will break the chain. Which means that they tried to help him. Maybe they have called doctors to come and help him to look. But nobody could help him. Even his family could not help him. Praise the Lord. They tried to heal him, but they could not. There was no headway. But when the day that Jesus Christ appeared in the storm of his life, oh my Lord and my Father, Lord God, till day, instantly, he received healing. Jesus proved to the people that he is the only Savior of the world. He is the only Savior. He is the only way. The way, the truth, and the life. Praise the Lord. We need to just believe. All we need is just to believe in Jesus and then we'll be saved from the antics and the wiles of the enemies. Praise the Lord. Jesus is our Redeemer. No matter how deep we might have gone into sin, he said, do not worry. He said, no matter your sin, no matter how red, no matter how deep that color is, no matter how far you might have gone into sin, he said, come. All you need to do is just to come. Believe in him, and then he will make you as white as snow. Praise the Lord. Because there is power in the blood of Jesus. It cleanses. Praise the Lord. And then the sixth lesson is never hide God's miracle. When God does something to you, I had wanted to share this earlier, but I think this is now I'll share. When I got to church this morning, and I sat down there and I prayed. I checked my phone because we still had like 10 minutes more to workers' meeting. And then I saw, you know, there's a place that you can see something that is coming up to your WhatsApp. And I saw somebody from my church back at home and was saying, this is not funny. What is happening? You know, it got me like, what is happening? And I opened. And I saw that our church was burgled early this morning. And I became scared. I was saying, Jesus, Jesus. I wouldn't know whether anybody heard me when I was saying, Jesus, Jesus. Because I saw a picture of people on the floor and I was like, oh, my children. Oh, my mother-in-law. And I said, oh, devil, you are a liar, you know. I continued. I went outside. I called somebody. I didn't even call my mother-in-law. I just called somebody in the church and I said, what happened? And he said, I thought it was something that happened where they were having service. But they said it happened before in the night, that it was where they got in the morning. And then somebody was in the church. One of the cleaners, he said he had vigil and then he slept in the church. So he locked himself. So when the burglars came, they didn't know that, of course, they would meet somebody in the church. So they met him. So they beat him up and then they tied him and then they put him in one corner. Then they carried all the things that they wanted to carry. And then they left. So it was those pictures that I saw that, you know. But I calmed myself. I said, Jesus, you are in control. And, you know, I came back. I've not spoken to my children. I've not spoken to my mother-in-law. But I came back. I said, enemy, you are in soup. Devil, you are in soup. You are trying, but you continue to fail. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So I want to praise God for his mercies that at least nobody was hurt. Nobody was, you know, nobody was injured. Even though the guy was seriously beaten, at least to God be the glory that everybody. So do not, when God does something for you, don't hide it. Come and share it for others so that others will know that God is good. Praise the Lord. Just like this man, after Jesus Christ. Please, can you help me with 89 verse 1? Psalms 89 verse 1. After Jesus Christ healed this man, he became calm and sane. He sat down. And Jesus was going again. He wanted to follow Jesus. That Jesus, let me follow you. Ah, what you have done for me. But Jesus Christ said, no. Just go and tell people what I have done for you. And we're told that this man, he went about proclaiming what Jesus Christ has done in his life.
telling about the goodness of God in his life, telling other people. He became an evangelist for Christ. Likewise, don't hide the goodness of God in your life. Tell it to others. Tell it to people. Who knows? Through it, they might come to Christ. I pray that the Lord will give us the boldness, you know, to continue to share his goodness, even to others, in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus is the only way. He's our rescuer. He's our redeemer. He's our restorer. He's the perfecter of our soul. And that is why we must give everything back to him. Praise the Lord. You know, there are four main things, you know, character of the enemy in the life of this man. And the very first one was accusation. You know, that is one thing that the devil is known for. He's accuser of brethren. Always going about accusing. We'll go to God and say, can you not look at that person? Hey, and you just bless her. Ah, you just bless her now. See what she has done now. You know, always going about to accuse. And that was what he did to this man. When somebody is being accused, if somebody comes, they come to somebody and they will come to arrest you. What do they do next? They will put what? They put chain. This man was in chain. It's a symbol of accusation. He was being accused. And we're told that this man was naked. It is a symbol of shame when somebody is naked. What is happening in our society today? People are going naked and we feel that it is the norm. But it's a symbol of shame. And that's what the enemy wants to. He always wants to ridicule our lives. He wants to put shame on us. He wants us to be humiliated. That is if we give him the ground. Praise the Lord. And the third one is that they already executed, you know, judgment was already passed on him. Because we were told that he would use stone to cut himself. You know, he would be bleeding. He will use sharp object to cut himself, to enjoy himself, you know, when the demons, when they start manifesting in his life, they will throw him to ground. You know, he will start, you know, rolling. That is execution. And that is what the enemy wants to do. And then the very last one is death. This man was already condemned. He was already, you know, damnation. They already condemned him that he's already, no, forget him. There is no headway for him. There is nothing. Don't even worry. His case is already, is concluded. He's sealed, deal, and done with. Because they've tried all they could to rescue him. But thank God for Jesus. The calmer of storm. He appeared and he calmed the storm of this man. Guess what? When Jesus was coming to that city of Gadara, what happened? If you look at the previous chapter, if you go to Mark 4 towards the ending part, he was in a boat. He boarded a boat with his disciple. And what happened? The enemy, he knew he was going to heal that man of Gadara. He made a storm to rise. A storm arose. You know, he wanted to make that boat to capsize so that they won't be able to rescue the man that was at the other side that needed deliverance. But thank God for Jesus. Even though his disciples, they were timid, they were afraid. He said, "Why are you people of little faith? Why are you, Lord?" And then he just said, "Peace, be still." That was what he says. I want us to rise up on our feet this morning. Peradventure you don't know this way maker. This